five B's of preaching. Would you like to know what they are? The five B's of preaching that I was taught is, be brief, brother, be brief. Pretty good, isn't it? Oh, the Lord's help tonight. We'll try to put a little bit of that into practice tonight, all right? Deuteronomy, if you have a Bible, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and if you're able to stand with me, we would invite you to do so. Deuteronomy chapter 8, thank you for allowing me to participate in the activities of last night and this afternoon. Certainly have enjoyed them. It's been a long time since I've ever been a part of a softball team that won 40-1. It was fun for a while, but thank you for allowing us. We had a wonderful day. Certainly thank the Lord for His help. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11. Let's begin there. And I'm just going to read a few verses from this chapter, and then I have another verse out of the book of Ecclesiastes I'd like to read. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. In verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Then that very familiar verse out of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Those first few words where it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now. I want to talk to you for just a little while tonight, a very practical message for this Saturday night. Simply about remembering God. Don't forget Him. Remembering God. Don't forget Him. I'm going to ask Sister Montgomery if she would ask the Lord's blessing on His word and His messenger tonight, please. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure if I would ask for a raise of hands, and I'm not doing that, okay? So please keep your hands down low. But if I would ask you tonight, how many of you have ever been guilty of forgetting something? Maybe some of you have that, you know, that tendency to be more forgetful than others, and you're kind of known for that around here. I don't know. But I've been from time to time guilty of forgetting. Not often, but there have been times in my own ministry that I have forgotten. And it's not a lot of fun when you forget something pretty important. One time I was traveling with a quartet, and they had been doing a great job singing, the quartet with a male piano player, just absolutely been doing outstanding. We were down in the southern part of the country on a tour. And that particular day I noted in my itinerary book that we were not receiving supper upon arrival at the church that we were having a service that night. And so instead of stopping at McDonald's for lunch and Burger King for supper, and I'm not a fan of either one, I like to combine those meals to a Golden Corral or a Quincy's Steakhouse or an all-you-can-eat buffet at about 2:30, 3 o'clock when the prices are still good and yet the food's going to be great and they're going to switch over to supper food. And man, you can just have a great time. And so on that particular occasion, the guys had been traveling so well and singing so good and recruiting so good and offerings had been good and God has been blessing. And I looked at those guys and I said, you know what, guys, normally I give you a limit. We pulled into a Quincy's Steakhouse in South Carolina. Normally, I give them a price range. I tell them this much, no more, anything above it, it's on you. I never pay for soda. It's always water. If they want soda, it's out of their own pocket. And that's the way it is even to this very day. And so, on that particular occasion, I looked at those guys and I said, fellas, you know what? You've been doing such a good job today. It's on Penview. There is no limit on the menu. Whatever your heart desires, we're going to take care of it. I want you to have a great time. See, one thing I've learned about traveling for a number of years now, and that is when you feed people good, they're going to perform a lot better. And I thought, you know what, these guys deserve it. And so I said, hey guys, it's on Pennview, and whatever I give them, I give myself, of course, and so I was enjoying it too. We walked into that Quincy's, and man, those guys, they forgot about the $6.99 sirloin tips that they typically would order. And they moved right on up to those top dollar menus, the top sirloins with shrimp on the side, the porterhouses, the T-bones, and all the big steaks that that restaurant could have and afford. And man, those guys, I mean, did they have a time? And of course, I enjoyed it myself. We ate, and we had a lot of time on our hand, and so we just kind of hung out in the restaurant for a little while. And it's after 5 o'clock, and we're really not that far from the church, and you could have practically rolled us out of that restaurant that day. Got back in the van, made our way to the church, and about an hour or so before the service was to start, and we pulled in, and I saw the pastor shuffling across the parking lot pretty brisk, and I thought, I wonder what he's up to, and you know, I know the kind of guy he is, and so I thought, well, he's just the way he is. And I opened the van door of the PR van, and I got out, and he goes, Durkee, he said, where have you been with these boys? I told you my wife's had supper on the table. Let's get them in here. I thought to myself, supper on the table? What in the world is he talking about? Supper on the table. And he turned around and was heading right back to the parsonage, and I leaned over the driver's seat, grabbed my book out, and opened that thing up. I thought, man, I can't have missed this. How did I misread this? And I'm looking it over, and all of a sudden the light bulb turned on. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. See, when we originally scheduled that particular service, the pastor and his wife weren't going to be home early enough, they felt, to prepare a meal. We were going to have something after church, and that was okay. So I prepared my letter, sent my information out and all that, and my book, when everything was good to go. But in the meanwhile, in the course of leading up to that event, they had contacted me and said, you know, we're going to be home much earlier than we anticipated and from a little trip, and so we'd like to have you for supper. And any time a place will have you for supper, it saves money, and I thank God for it. And I said, absolutely, we'll be glad to get in there in time for supper, but I forgot to write it in the book. I'll never forget, as I was kind of frustrated a little bit with myself, can't believe I forgot this. I look back at those guys, and they're all shaking their head, no. I begin to shake my head, yes. I said, guys, you look hungry. You really look hungry. Let's go. No questions asked. They didn't have any choice about the matter. They knew what we had to do. Mum was the word. We walked into that parsonage as though we had been looking forward to a great meal. Amos Hand was the pastor. Sister Hand had prepared a huge spaghetti supper. All the trimmings that go along with a great spaghetti supper with, I think, meatballs and salad and all the things that you would go along with a good meal. And we sat down, the blessing was prayed, and I noticed the fellas taking pretty small portions of spaghetti. The bad thing was, Brother Hand noticed it as well. He jumped up off that seat and said, boys, what's wrong with you? Don't you like my wife's cooking? Put some more spaghetti on that plate. And he started dishing out spaghetti. Needless to say, we paid a terrible price that night for me failing to remember that little point of information about supper upon arrival. We laugh about it to this day, and it's one of those moments in my past that's kind of funny. But you know something? We paid just a simple physical price, you know, and they were the ones singing. I really didn't do much, and so just sat there feeling so full. And they had to somehow sing their way through that service. But you know what? The Word of God that I've read to you tonight, young people, especially, and all of us together, talks about a serious price to be paid if we'd all forget the thing that's most important. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. He says, but thou shalt remember. But let it be known unto you, if you'd all forget me, and you walk after other gods, and you serve them, and you worship them, and you serve them and follow them, he said, I'm going to testify against you. And you're going to perish. You're going to pay a very significant spiritual price for failing to remember God. Not just a physical price, but a spiritual price. So I think it's pretty important when the writer said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You might ask me tonight, you say, Brother Durkee, what about God ought we to remember? What about God should we really remember? And thought about that question, and so I've got a number of things I want to quickly share with you tonight that I think it's very important that we remember now about God. Number one, I think we and I, you and I together, we collectively need to remember first and foremost God's holy word. We need to remember God's word. You see, young people, this book is the book that you'll be judged by. This is the book that you will give an account thereof. I love American history, and the Pony Express was a very thrilling part of early American history. They tell us that the Pony Express ran from St. Joseph, Missouri, all the way to Sacramento, California, a distance of about 1,900 miles. And they tell us that 40 men would each ride about 50 miles a day on the best horses the West could possibly provide. They tell us there were very scrupulous weight precautions on the Pony Express. They weren't allowed to wear or carry any weapons. The saddles were very small and thin. Their clothing had to be very light and thin in nature. Everything, I mean, the shoes, if the horses even wore them, were very small at best. They tell us about the mail pouches in the day of the Pony Express. They tell us the mail pouches were very thin in nature, very conservative in size. And they tell us that, you know, the postage on the Pony Express, if you really wanted to send something, had to be written on onion skin thin kind of paper, and the postage was $5 an ounce. Pretty incredible. And yet as I read about the Pony Express, something thrilled me. And I learned, and that is that every Pony Express rider, when he joined the Pony Express, was presented and given a full-sized Bible and was required to carry it with him on every trip. Simply speaking, the Word of God had become standard equipment on the Pony Express. That thrills me. Let me ask you something tonight. Is the Word of God standard equipment in your journey? On the life you're living? Or have you relegated God's Word to the coffee table, the bookshelf, to a place where you keep pictures of grandchildren and boyfriends and girlfriends and four-leaf clovers and all kinds of things? Amen. Young people, this is the book that you will be judged by. And you'll give an account from this book. And I think it's very important that you and I remember God's Word. It was George Washington, the very first president of this great country of ours, who said that you cannot rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Thank God for leaders like that. May God help us to remember His Word. Amen? Number two, not only should we remember God's Word, but I believe it's very important, young people, that we remember God's house. We remember God's house. We're seemingly living in a day when it's all too easy for people to miss church. Now, I'm speaking to the choir tonight. You're here. Moms and dads, you're here. Grandma and grandpa, you're here. Young people, you're here tonight. But listen carefully. To find excuses to stay at home, I believe, has become some kind of game for all too many people. And I've heard all kinds of excuses, and so have you. But may I remind you that when one truly falls in love with the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords, you will want to be in His house. When you really fall in love with God, you'll want to be in His house. I remember when I was falling in love with my wife, together for over 4 years before we got married. You know something? There was a desire to be at her house. Most of our dating, most of our courting was at her house. I didn't have much money, and yet her mom made great food. It's one good thing about my mother-in-law. But we enjoyed being together in her home. You know why? Because I loved her. I wanted to be around her. I wanted to be where she lived. Oh, I know you can worship God in the woods. I know you can pray and talk to God in the woods and spend time with God in the woods. I do it every year during deer season. I know you can do that. I know you can worship God in your truck or your car. I do that all the time as well. I know you can worship God on the job site, but let me tell you something. I like what one writer said. He said, if your faith won't take you to church, he says, I doubt it will take you to heaven. And I believe that. We need to remember God's house. Oh, yes, the businesses of our jobs and other endeavors will try to rob us of attending the house of God. You can count on it. It's pretty amazing when you notice, first, it's prayer meeting night. That's usually the first night that goes in the life of an individual. It's missing prayer meeting night. Then it's missing Sunday school because, you know, it's too early and you've worked hard all week. And then it's missing Sunday nights because you have to get up early and, you know, those services get out pretty late. That preacher, he's kind of long-winded. And then it's only one or two nights of revival because, you know, there's things going on that, quote-unquote, are legitimate. And then you wake up wondering why you're spiritually dry and empty. I can tell you why you are. Because you've neglected God's house. Amen. Young people, listen to me. Remember God's house with your attendance. Be there when the lights are on and the doors are open. Make it a part of your life. Be a part of those places where it's been set aside for you. My boys will have to make the choice to follow God or not. I'm thanking the Lord that at this point in their life they love the Lord. But you know what? If they choose not to go God's way, it's going to be because... And then when I say if they choose not to go God's way, they're going to have to go over top of being in the house of God because they're going to church. We go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and midweek. We go to camp meeting. It's not an option for my kids. Youth camp is not an option for my boys. Our conference youth camp is not an option for my boys. IH convention is not an option. They will be going to some of these events that I believe are important in their life. Remembering God's house. Amen. Young people, you'll do yourself well to remember God's house with your attendance. Not only that, but you need to remember God's house in regards to the atmosphere of God's house. I thank God, Brother Ziegler, for the atmosphere here when we come to church. There's a lot of places in our country that don't come to church to worship. It's a racket before service, put it mildly. It's just a racket. But young people, we need to remember God's house with the atmosphere. This is a place of prayer. It's a place of worship. It's a place where we come in and we worship God. And I can't tell you how many times God impressed upon my heart as a young person when I came to church from the streets of St. Petersburg, Florida, and I'd come into that little Bible Methodist church, and those people came to church. I mean, there weren't many of them, 30, 40, 50, but you knew they came to church. They got there early. They prayed. I saw many individuals get on their knees and pray at their pew before the service, and that seemingly is a thing of the past. Hardly anybody ever does that anymore. Many times services would start before the scheduled service was supposed to start. Oh yeah. God would come and somebody would just want to stand up and say, you know, I got to praise the Lord. It's 6:45. Service starts at 7, but they can't hold it any longer. And they say, I just got to praise the Lord. And somebody else will start in a course. And the next thing you know, God's settling in. And we haven't even started the service yet. But people came with a mind of worship. They brought an attitude of worship with them and they prepared their hearts. You can't prepare for worship coming in at the nick of the time of the service starting. Can't do it. Coming in right on the moment doesn't work. It takes time. Prepare your heart and your mind. And I want to challenge you young people. You're the church of today as well as the church of tomorrow. And may you remember God's house with the atmosphere. Keep it a place of worship, a place of prayer. Amen? Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Durkee. Well, thank you. Amen. Remember God's house. Not only should you remember God's house, but thirdly tonight, seatbelts on? You ready? You need to remember God's day. We don't hear much about these things anymore. But we need to remember God's day. You say, what about God's day should we remember, preacher? Well, let me give you three things you need to remember about God's day. Number one, young people, listen. The Sabbath day was made for man. You need to remember that. The Sabbath day was made for man. The words of Jesus Himself in Mark chapter 2 and 27 says the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now that word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word that literally means rest. Literally means rest. The Sabbath was to be a day of rest. This day was designed to prevent burnout, if you please. And God made the Sabbath for man's benefit because God knows that when we work the 6 days like we ought to work, we'll rest like we ought to rest. Amen. It's the benefit God gave us. The Sabbath was made for man. I like what one writer called the Sabbath. He said the Sabbath is God's prescription for people under pressure. I kind of like that. Homespun, but I like it. Under pressure, look to the Sabbath. You don't have to worry about fixing the car, building the fence, fixing the cabinet that you've been saying you're going to fix for your wife how many times, you know. And you don't have to worry about your schoolwork. It's a Sabbath. It's a day of rest. Amen. Not only should we remember that the Sabbath was made for man, but we also need to remember that the Christian Sabbath is Sunday, the Lord's Day. Number two. The Christian Sabbath is Sunday, the Lord's Day. Now, we have to be honest with you, young people, and that is before the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Sabbath day was on a Saturday. That's true. It was on a Saturday. But from the time Jesus resurrected from the dead, the early Christians began to worship God on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, because Jesus arose on the first day of the week. And therefore, the Christian Sabbath became Sunday, the Lord's Day. And there's all kinds of scriptures. Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together, Paul preached. 1 Corinthians 16, 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered. And on it goes. Oh yes, all your days belong to God, but there's one day that's been set aside especially, and that's Sunday. And that's the Christian Sabbath. That day we especially worship and rest in Him. Thirdly and lastly, regarding the remembering God's day, is that Sunday is to be a holy day. The Word of God says in Exodus chapter 20, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To keep it holy. That word holy is a very interesting word. It simply means to set apart. It means sacred. It means something other than. See, Sunday is to be a day other than the other six. It's to be different. Yet many people confuse this day with holly, and they think it's a holiday to do what they want to do, and they go and they live and they act as though it's their day to catch up on all that they want to catch up on. But young people, hear me. God's day, the Lord's day, is to be a holy day. It's a holy day. It's not a day of buying and selling. It's not a day we fill up our cars with fuel and go buy bread and milk and take people out to restaurants. It troubles me, even amongst our holiness circles, that I get in places where they invite me to go out to eat on Sunday. May God help us. Young people, it's amazing. I can't tell you how many young people I've pastored, that I've ministered to, that have absolutely no concept that the world reverenced God's day at one point. By closing their businesses and their stores and their gas stations and their But today it's any other day. May God help us. Listen to what one writer said. I like it. He said, our great-grandfathers called it the Holy Sabbath. Our grandfathers call it the Sabbath. Our fathers call it Sunday. But you know what we call it today? The weekend. Can I give you a little information? You realize the weekend ends tonight, officially? Now, we don't think that way. We don't think in those terms because we've all just adopted the philosophy that everyone has that, you know, Sunday is the end of the week. But remember, Sunday is the first day of the week, not the end. You're to start your week by being in God's house and worshiping. But we've just fallen into this little trap. Oh, it's the end of the week. We kind of catch up and mow our grass and do what we want to do, and may God help us, young people. We're losing the Lord's day in so many places. And young people, if we're going to remember God's day, it's going to be because you've remembered God's day. And you've handed that down to your young people and to your children. May God help us. Remember God's day. Amen? Amen. Number four. Not only should we remember God's Word and God's house and God's day, but we need to remember God's man. Now, your pastor didn't slip a $100 bill under the supper table tonight and say, I need you to take care of a few matters for me. Will you do this? We've had no secret meetings this week, okay? He said nothing to me about you in those regards. But I am here to talk to you about remembering God's man tonight. Maybe a little uncomfortable for the man of God, the pastor, and I understand that, but listen very carefully. Young people, you need to remember God's man. You say, how am I to remember God's man? Well, there's several ways you can remember God's man. First of all, you can remember God's man with prayer. You can pray for your pastor. You can lift up your pastor before the Lord. Don't talk about your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Oh, I recognize he has faults. We all do. Can I put it plainly? He puts his clothes on just like you do. And you realize there's times as a pastor that you don't feel like getting out of bed? You didn't know that, did you? The man of God's human. He needs you to pray for him. The emotional roller coaster sometimes of a pastor is absolutely incredible, young people. I mean, I remember one time being a pastor. I remember that one Saturday. It was absolutely incredible. Saturday morning, I was a part of a wedding. Saturday afternoon was the church picnic. Saturday night, I preached a funeral. All in the same day. And I had to show this right emotion to every one of them. I had to make sure I didn't get it mixed up, you know. No one to get excited and spike the volleyball. And to know when to rejoice about the wedding and then to be sober and somber, so to speak, for the funeral. Not easy being the man of God. It's important you pray for your pastor. Would you like to know what our young people do back home? I think it's a beautiful thing. In my home church back in Penns Creek, Pennsylvania, every Sunday night, the young people gather with Pastor Alan Walter about 15 minutes before the service in the Sunday school room, and they lay hands on Pastor Walter, and the young people pray for their pastor because they ask God to touch the man of God. And they've recognized their responsibility. I'm not saying you have to do it just like that, but what I am saying is you need to pray for God's man. Pray for your pastor. Remember God's man with prayer. Not only should you remember God's man with prayer, but you need to remember God's man with patience. You need to be patient with your pastor. Oh, it's amazing. The things that the pastor, you know, will learn as he's especially new. New to people and trying to figure out the quirks of people. And are they serious? Are they not? You need to be patient with your pastor, young people. Be patient with him. Pray for him. Take time and ask God to help your pastor. It'll do you worlds of good and it'll help him so much. Remember God's man with patience and prayer. Thirdly, let me share this with you. I think this is an important one. You need to remember God's man with pay. That's right. You see, young people, someday you're going to serve on the boards. You're going to be making the decisions. And I don't know who does that even now, but you need to remember God's man with pay. You have a responsibility to take care of your pastor. You need to annually look at his salary and give him a raise and take care of him and do your part to make sure your pastor's needs are met. It's important. He's the man of God. Don't become stingy with your pastor and his pay. Because ultimately, you'll answer to God for that. Amen. I know it's not easy to preach this, especially with the pastor here, and you're sitting there thinking, oh no, but that's truth. Remember God's man with pay. You need to remember God's man with a pounding. I like this one. You say, are you given permission to pound the pastor? Yes, I am, but not in that way. Where we come from, in the month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month. We have a food pounding for our pastors every month of October. The time where they bring in all kinds of things. We call it Harvest Home where we come from. We have a pounding for the pastor to help supplement all the other things we're doing. And I remember the first time as a young pastor in my first church, and I had no clue they ever did anything like that. And that Sunday morning, I had a message on hell that I was going to preach. I walked into church early before anyone showed up, and I came to church, and I saw up in the front, you know, Pastor Appreciation Day. And I saw this platform just set up with stuff all over. I thought, man, I have missed the sermon this morning. There's no way I can preach this sermon. They were honoring their pastor. A little crowd of 18, 20 people in my first church. And those people so blessed my wife and I and our children with all kinds of canned goods and food products and paper products. I mean, listen, they gave my wife and I so much paper towels and napkins and toilet paper that I didn't have to buy any the entire 4 years I pastored. I never had to buy laundry soap. They provided so much of that stuff. That was a blessing. You need to remember God's man with a pounding. Young people, you can get involved. The last thing I want to share with you about remembering God's man is that you can remember God's man with participation. Participation. I don't know if you know this or not, but you don't pay the pastor to do everything around here. Do you know that? Oh yeah, I've been placed. I saw a lady one time, she jumped right up in the service right while I was talking on this point. We pay the pastor to do all the calling around here. I thought, shame on her. Keep silence, ma'am. The man of God's not the only person to invite people to church. Knock on doors. Oh yes, pastors ought to be doing that. But you know what? If you're a Christian, young people, old people, this is good for everybody. If you're a Christian, you've got a moral responsibility to God and to the people around you to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Invite them to Jesus. It's everybody's responsibility. And that's why, young people, you need to remember God's man with participation. Get involved. I mean, go up to your pastor and say, Pastor, I'm here to do whatever I can to help the church. What can I do to make your ministry easier? He'll probably fall over, had a heart attack. Just fan him a little while. Put some smelling salts underneath his nose. He'll come alive. Then he'll help you to get busy about doing something with him. It might be that he would want you to get involved and help you to knock on doors. Pass out flyers, inviting people to Sunday school or junior church or vacation Bible school or revival meeting, whatever it might be. I remember being a pastor and watching our young people as they came out on Saturdays as we knocked on doors in the city that I lived in. What a blessing they were. What an inspiration they were. They participated. I remember being away at camp meeting one time, and it was one of the things I did at my little church was I mowed the grass at the church and the parsonage. I remember coming home from camp meeting and the grass was mowed. I was shocked. I thought, who in the world? And here I found out it was a young person who went to a board member and said, you know, I want to help with the pasture. Could I mow the grass while he's gone? And they gave him the key to get into the mower and showed him how to do it. And from that day on, that young man took that burden upon himself and mowed the grass. He didn't get paid for it. He didn't want to get paid for it. But he wanted to participate to help to lighten the load for the pasture. Young people, there's things you can do to remember God's man with participation. I had a young lady in my church who wanted to get involved, and she thought, Pastor, I have something I'd like to do. And we began to talk to her, and we made her the sunshine girl of our church. All the people didn't know it. Not for a long time they didn't know it, but we assigned her, and we gave her postcards, and we gave her stamps. And anytime somebody was absent or had a birthday or an anniversary, she would send a card out from the church. We gave her the stamps, we gave her the postcards, and she took care of that. I'd be walking the streets, and somebody would see me maybe at a store, and they'd say, Pastor, thanks for that birthday card. I didn't remember it was their birthday. But that little sunshine girl, that 13-year-old girl in our church, she did. She had the list, and she took care of that as a ministry for the church. Young people, there's something you can do. You can get involved. I challenge you to remember God's man with participation. Amen? Amen. Oh, there's so many other things I can talk to you about tonight. I can talk to you about remembering God's name. I can talk to you about remembering God's money. I can spend a little time there talking to you about how you need to bring the tithe to the storehouse. This is your storehouse. You don't send your tithe to that guy in Ethiopia. It's a storehouse. It's how God provides the needs of the church. You make $100, $10 already belongs to God. That's not difficult. I promise you, you tithe, God will bless you. 10% of what you make already belongs to God. It comes here, it's God's money. Young people, you need to start that now. It needs to be happening in your life right now. My boys know that. We're in a church somewhere in a revival meeting. Somebody, you know, gives them a $5 bill for singing a song so pretty that night. And they know 50 cents of that already belongs to God. And I said, the rest of it, you can, there's several things you can do, and we try to teach them. I said, you know what, the offering part's the exciting part, because that's where you can kind of determine what needs to happen as you seek the Lord and say, Lord, you know what, you know, I want to be a blessing to somebody. So you put a little extra in the offering time to help a missionary that's coming through. Remember God's money. I could talk to you for a little while on that line. But you know, there's one more thing I want to talk to you about before we leave. You know, you can do everything I've told you to do tonight. You can remember God's Word. You can study the Scripture, memorize it, read the Bible from cover to cover every year, know it inside and out better than all these other people. You can be so careful with God's house. You can remember it. Every time the doors are open, the lights are on, you're here. You can remember God's day. You can be oh so careful remembering God's money and God's man. And you can do all these things and yet miss the most important thing. Would you like to know what it is in closing? Young people, you need to remember
God Himself. Himself.
You can do all manner of good things for God and forget all about Him. Can I just be honest with you tonight? Can I be transparent with you? Brother Durkee's biggest battle isn't drinking or smoking, drugs or being immoral. My biggest battle is to be so busy in the King's business that I neglect the King. So busy about living the life of a Christian that I forget all about the life giver. God. Young people, you can't go to heaven because you had a spiritual grandma. You can't go to heaven just because your daddy was a board member at the Shoals West Wise Ball Community Church. You can't go to church, you can't go to heaven just because they had prayer with you around the table in the mealtime and had family altar. Those things are all good, but young people, you've got to know God for yourself. And you've got to remember God yourself. You've got to take time to worship Him. Take time to pray and read your Bible and commune with Him on a one-on-one basis. It's amazing. We're witnessing a day when it seems like so many people have forgotten God. America has forgotten God. Oh, I know, 9/11 comes rolling around and you know people start to remember. And on 9/11, it was amazing how many people began to remember God again. When tragedy strikes, it's pretty simple for easy for people to remember God. Prayer meetings going on. But while things are going seemingly smooth, we just kind of push God aside. Oh, we don't say it like that, but in essence, that's what we're doing. Young people, I want to challenge you. Challenge you as we leave this place tonight to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Take time to worship God. Know God. Fall in love with Jesus. Have a personal relationship with Him. I promise you, He'll be your best friend. He wants to be your best friend. It's important to remember God because He tells us, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God. You walk after other gods and you serve them and worship them. He says, I testify against you. Would you let me give you a little secret tonight? The last person you want testifying against you is God. Because you'll never win. You'll never win. Remember God. Don't forget Him. Amen? Amen? Let's stand together tonight.